During the period referred to in my tale concerning the destruction by contemporary beings of the labors of Saint Lama, despite the passage of two centuries, everything went on in the same way. The recent heads of that mentioned European community, who thanks only to the secret of Kvatsnell, had had the luck gradually to subordinate everything to their influence and to take it all into their hands, were proud of their success and wanted to lay their paws even on that which until then had been considered unattainable. In other words, they decided to take possession of that neighboring country called Tibet, then held to be inaccessible. And so, one fine day, fine for them, but a sorry day for all the rest of the beings of that planet, they gathered together many beings of their community, and still more from the small local communities they had already conquered. And with the help of every new invention of contemporary European civilization for the process of reciprocal destruction, they began very quietly moving up toward this country hitherto considered inaccessible. In spite of the help of all these new European inventions, this movement of theirs up the heights of this country was very difficult and cost them dearly, not only in what they call pounds sterling, but also in what they call casualties. While this assemblage of terrestrial three-brained beings continued their slow and laborious ascent, the beings who dwelt above in Tibet as yet suspected nothing of the military expedition against their country, and they learned about it only when the troops had reached the heights. When the beings of this high country learned of this unusual event, they became very alarmed and agitated, because for many centuries they had been accustomed to the notion that the place of their existence was inaccessible to others, and that beings of other communities, no matter what their means for the process of reciprocal destruction, would never be able to reach them. So certain were they of this that not even once had they cast a glance downward to see the preparations that were being made during this time for penetrating into their inaccessible country, and hence they did not take any corresponding measures in advance. And so those sorrowful events came to pass, which were to destroy forever all the results created by that full of faith, sacred individual, Saint Lama. First of all, I must tell you that in this high country, there also existed a small group of seven beings who, according to the rule established from the very beginning, were the guardians of the most secret instructions and counsels of Saint Lama. This group of seven had followed the indications of Saint Lama for freeing themselves from the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabhava, and had brought their self-perfecting up to the final degree. When this group of seven learned what was happening, they sent their leader to join the agitated chiefs of the whole country in a conference, which was held in the capital on the very first day of the intrusion of these uninvited guests. At this first conference of theirs, the assembled heads of the Tibetan beings unanimously decided to request these uninvited visitors very calmly and courteously to be good enough to return whence they had come, and to leave undisturbed both themselves and their peaceful country that was doing no harm to anyone. When, after a few days, it became clear that these uninvited guests would not consent to return, and as a result of this request, even hastened to move more deeply into the country, the members of the first conference became still more alarmed and arranged a second conference to deliberate what to do to prevent these beings from, as he said, entering a stranger's house without invitation. All sorts of means were proposed for ridding their country of these beings who had forced their way like magpies into a stranger's nest. But one means in particular found support: to destroy to the last man all these swaggering intruders. And indeed, my boy, this could easily have been done, because such is the nature of the country that without any other means, merely by hurling stones down from the mountains, a single being could destroy thousands of enemies passing along the valleys. All the more since every one of them knew the contours of his native country like the palm of his hand. Toward the close of the conference, all the leaders of the country of Tibet were in such a state of excitement that they would almost certainly have decided to carry out the proposal, supported by the majority, if the head of that small group of seven, who had been sent there by the other members, had not intervened in this stormy debate. This head of the group of seven, already almost a saint, in persuading the other participants of this conference to give up what they had proposed, said, among other things, "The existence of every being is equally precious and dear to God, our common creator. So the destruction of these beings, especially of so many of them, would give no small grief to that one who, even without this, is overburdened with care and sorrow for everything that exists among us on earth." All that this future saint went on to say in the assembly of Tibetan chiefs was so persuasive that they decided not only to take no measures against the intruders, but even to take every kind of precaution that no one should hinder the march of events. And so the beings who had appeared from below as uninvited guests, meeting with no opposition anywhere, moved forward into the heart of that unique country, which had hitherto been isolated from the ever-worsening conditions of ordinary being existence on your planet. Well, it was just then that the event occurred which resulted in a great calamity, not only for all present and future beings of this unlucky country, but perhaps even for all present and future three-brained beings of the whole of that unfortunate planet. You should know that at the final conference of all the leaders of Tibet, among other things, a resolution was carried that certain members of the council, chosen by lot, should go to those districts through which these strangers would pass in order to forewarn the local inhabitants of the decision taken by their leaders and to persuade them to permit no one under any circumstances to hinder the passage of these intruders. Among those sent to the districts through which the armed invaders would pass, the lot fell to the chief of this small group of seven. And when he arrived for this purpose at a certain large center, near which the armed hordes of foreign beings had camped for a needed rest, in the street of this place, a stray bullet fired intentionally or accidentally by one of the newcomers killed this future saint on the spot. Thus ended the existence of the chief of that small group of nearly perfected brethren, and in spite of the terror which overwhelmed them, nothing remained for them but to take the necessary steps for bringing home the planetary body of their chief. In order that you may clearly represent to yourself the real terror of the situation experienced by these six brothers who were left without their leader, and also understand all the disastrous consequences of this event, I must first of all tell you, even though briefly, the history of the rise and existence of this small group in Tibet, which for centuries had always consisted of seven three-brained beings of your planet. This group was formed and existed long before the appearance on the planet Earth of the last sacred individual, Saint Lama. At the very beginning, it was composed of seven beings directly initiated by Saint Krishnakarna, who was also a messenger of our endlessness, specially sent to the three centered beings of the planet Earth, breeding in the country of Pearl Land. When Saint Buddha later appeared in Pearl Land, he ascertained that many of Saint Krishnakarna's instructions for the psyche of the beings of that country were not obsolete, and that if absorbed by any of them, these instructions could help destroy those consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabhava, to free themselves from which he too had been sent to help them, and he therefore decided to make some of these instructions of Saint Krishnakarna the basis of his own teaching. And after these seven beings who had been directly initiated by Saint Krishnakarna were shown the aim and necessity of their existence by Saint Buddha, and clearly sensed this, and were convinced that the instructions of Saint Buddha did not at heart contradict the instructions of Saint Krishnakarna, but even complemented them and corresponded more exactly to the psyche of the beings of that period, they became followers of Saint Buddha. Still later, when Saint Lama appeared, especially for the beings of the country of Tibet, he found in his turn that many instructions of Saint Buddha still corresponded very well with the psyche of the beings of that country, provided certain details were modified in accordance with the changes in external conditions of existence due to the passage of time. So he also included in the basis of his teaching many instructions from the truths already revealed by Saint Krishnakarna before him and renewed by Saint Buddha. And once again, this small group of initiated beings, as well as other followers of Saint Buddha, sensing clearly that the additions and changes brought to this teaching by Saint Lama corresponded better to the contemporary psyche, became followers of Saint Lama. Among the beings of this small group, there was a rule, which, by the way, they observed very strictly, according to which certain secret instructions of Saint Lama concerning the beings of their group could be transmitted from generation to generation through their leader alone, and he could initiate the other six into these secrets only after certain attainments on their part. That is why the six members of this small group, all of whom already merited and were ready to receive initiation in the near future, were so horrified when they learned of the destruction of their leader. With the loss of this sole initiate of that time, they were deprived forever of the possibility of becoming initiated themselves into these secret instructions of Saint Lama. Owing to the fact that their leader was killed so unexpectedly, it was even doubtful whether they could use the sole remaining possibility of receiving these instructions by communicating with the reason of their leader by means of the process of the sacred Amts no Shinu, a process about which they already knew and for which, moreover, they had in themselves all the required data. But probably, my dear boy, you know nothing as yet about this sacred process. The sacred Alms no Shinu is the process by means of which certain three-centered beings who have been able to attain the coating of their own Kestron bodies up to completed functioning and to a definite degree of reason intentionally bring about the coating, or as it is otherwise said, the materialization of the Kestron body of a being whose planetary body has ceased to exist, up to such a density that this second body regains for a limited time the possibility of manifesting through certain functions proper to its former planetary body. This sacred process can be carried out upon the Kestron body of a being who during his existence has also brought his higher being body up to completed functioning, and in whom the reason of this body has been brought up to the degree called the sacred being Mirotsinu. In our great universe, besides the process of the materialization or intentional coating of the Keshchan body of a being whose planetary body has ceased to exist, there is another process called the most sacred Jeri Metle. And this other most sacred process consists in this. First of all, the highest being body, namely the body of the soul, is intentionally coated. And only after that, as in the first case, is the sacred Amts Noshinu actualized. Of course, it is possible to carry out these processes only if such higher being bodies are still in those spheres which are in contact with the atmosphere of the planet where these holy sacraments are performed. Furthermore, these materializations evoked intentionally and consciously by certain beings can exist, and a connection and communication with them can be maintained only as long as these beings consciously feed the Keshchan body with their own sacred Ayah Sakhlaron. Thus, those six remaining members of the small group of seven might have had recourse to this same sacred process of Amts Noshinu for communicating with the reason of their destroyed leader if they had foreseen the possibility of his sudden disappearance, and while he was still in existence, had made a certain preparation that was indispensable for accomplishing this process. In order to understand the essence of this preparation for the sacred process of the sacrament of Amts Noshinu, you need to know about two special properties of the being Chanbledzoin, that is, the blood of the Keshchan body. The first of these properties of the being Chanbledzoin consists in this, that if any part of it is separated and removed from the rest, then no matter where and how far away it is taken, a sort of thread-like connection is formed between this part and the principal concentration of this cosmic substance. This connection, moreover, is formed of the same substance, and its density and thickness increase or diminish in proportion to the distance between the principal concentration and this separated part. And the second special property of this Chanbledzoin is that if a part of it is again introduced, accidentally or intentionally, into the principal concentration of this substance, no matter where this concentration may be, or in what quantity the Chanbledzoin is introduced, it blends with the Chanbledzoin of the original concentration and is distributed uniformly throughout it, both as regards density and quantity. And so, since the Keshchan body of the being is coated with substances that in their totality make this cosmic formation much lighter than the mass of cosmic substances composing the atmosphere surrounding the planets, the Keshchan body is no sooner separated from the planetary body of the being than it rises, according to the cosmic law called Tenek Doa, or as it is sometimes called, the law of gravity, to that sphere in which it finds the density that corresponds with its own mass, and which is thus the place corresponding to such cosmic arisings. In view of all this, the preparation required for the sacrament of the sacred Amts Noshinu consists in removing beforehand, during his planetary existence, a part of the Chanbledzoin of the being on whose Keshchan body this sacred process is to be performed after his death. And this part must either be kept in some corresponding surplanetary formation or be introduced into those beings who perform this ritual and intentionally blended with the Khanbledzuin of their own Keshchan bodies. Thus, when the perfected three-brained being predesignated for the sacrament of Ants Noshinu ceases his planetary existence and his Keshchan body is separated from his planetary body, then, thanks to the first special property of this being, Khanbledzuin, that connection I have just told you about begins to establish itself between his Keshchan body and the place where the part of his Khanbledzuin had been preserved beforehand, or with those beings who have intentionally coated this particle in their own Keshchan bodies. In order to be clear about this question in our subsequent talks, I must tell you here that this connection, one end of which is kept in the Keshchan body that has risen to its corresponding sphere, and the other end of which stays either within those surplanetary formations where the part of the general mass of the Khanbledzuin was fixed, or in those beings who intentionally blended it with the Khanbledzuin of their own Keshchan body, can exist in space for only a limited period, that is, until the planet on which the given being had arisen has completed one revolution around its sun. At the beginning of a new revolution, such connections completely disappear. And they disappear because in the atmosphere surrounding each planet, the evolution and involution of the cosmic substances required for the great cosmic Trogo Auto Egocrat, in accordance with the fundamental sacred cosmic law of Heptaparaparshinoch, again commence flowing only for the Trogo Auto-Egocratic process of local character, that is, within the limits of the autonomous activity of the given solar system. And as a result, all cosmic substances, without exception, which happen to be in the atmosphere during the period of this revolution, including the said connections, are immediately transformed into cosmic substances corresponding to this atmosphere. So, my boy, until the end of a complete revolution, those beings existing on planets who either have in themselves a particle of the Khanbledzuin of a Keshchan body, or have at their disposal the surplanetary formation in which a part of the Khanbledzuin was fixed, can at any time, assuming, of course, that they possess all the corresponding data, attract such a body back to the solid part of their planet, and by saturating it to the required density with their own Khanbledzuin, can establish a contact with the reason of that already completely formed independent cosmic unit. And this attraction, or materialization, as it is sometimes called, is brought about by means of what is known as valikrin, that is, by the conscious infusion, in a certain way, of their own Khanbledzuin into the ends of these connections. This sacred process of Ants Noshinu had already been carried out several times by three-centered beings on your planet, at different periods, even before it was attempted in Tibet, and several legomenisms existed concerning these sacred processes of former times. It was through these legomenisms that this small group of Tibetan beings already knew all the details of the procedure relating to this sacred process, and of course, also knew about the special preparation required for it. But having now no other possibility of learning all the secret instructions than to attempt to enter into contact with the reason of their deceased leader, they decided to try to carry out this sacred sacrament upon his Keshchan body, even without the said preparation. And this risk that they took was the cause of the great misfortune I mentioned. As my further investigations showed me, this misfortune occurred in the following way. Those six great initiates, still existing in their planetary bodies, took turns in pairs for 3 days and nights to carry out uninterruptedly the process of Valakrine upon the planetary body of their former leader. That is, the infusion of their own Khanbladzuin into his body. But because a connection with his Keshchan body had not been established beforehand, their Khanbladzuin did not accomplish what was expected, but only accumulated chaotically over his planetary body. And since, unfortunately for them, an intensified blending of the sacred active element Okidanoch was proceeding during these days in the atmosphere above that locality, or, as your favorites say, there were violent thunderstorms, there took place between these two cosmic results, still in the process of transition from one definite cosmic phenomenon to another, what is called a Sobrio-Nolian contact. And this contact on that small area of your ill-starred planet set in motion the accelerated cosmic phenomenon called Nishto Unishtono, that is to say, the sudden, instantaneous evolution of all surrounding cosmic crystallizations. In other words, all the nearby surplanetary formations were instantly transformed into the prime source substance, Ether Nocrono. This Sobrio-Nolian contact, or as it would be called on the planet Earth, explosion, was so powerful that during this Nishto Unishtono, everything without exception was transformed into Ether Nocrono, the planetary body of this chief of this small group, as well as those of the other six brethren who were performing this sacred sacrament, and likewise all the already spiritualized or merely concentrated surplanetary formations within a radius of one shmana, or as your favorites would say, within about 1 square mile. Among the destroyed formations, both natural and artificial in origin, were all the books which had belonged to these seven great terrestrial initiates, and many other things used as means to keep in memory everything concerning the three sacred individuals intentionally actualized from above, namely Saint Krishnatkana, Saint Buddha, and Saint Lama. Now, my boy, I think you will understand the meaning of those words by which I described this charming military expedition when I said that this was a great calamity, not only for the beings of that country, but perhaps also for all the three-brained beings of the whole planet.